And we are going to be asking Brother Vivian if he could again let us hear a few minutes of what this gentleman was saying. So that we can get a background to what I'm about to say. Just probably a 2 or 3 minutes, Brother Norma.
In the 66 books of the Bible, spring come. Even if I'm closing this Sabbath coming, you still have all day Thursday to search, all night Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday. Bring me one Bible verse and you can collect 10 million Jamaican dollars. Bring me one Bible verse from anywhere in the Bible. And Maynard said I should increase it to 10 million. Listen to me carefully. One Bible verse that says God or Jesus or the apostles or the prophets changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. When Christ was here, the only Sabbath he knew was the seventh day. When Christ comes back, the only Sabbath that will be kept in the earth made new is the seventh day. Now, if it was in the beginning and if it will be in the end, what happened in the middle? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, we've preached in your name, cast out demons in your name, worked miracles in your name. He said, then will I profess to them, I don't know you. They said the holy day, the Sabbath, was changed from Saturday to Sunday. This is the Roman church telling you what they did. This is the Roman church who claimed to be the mother of all Protestant churches. This is the Roman church, and the term Catholic simply means universal. This is the Roman church saying the holy day, the Sabbath, was changed from Saturday to Sunday, not from any directions in Scripture, but from the church's sense of its own power. Then listen to this last piece. You may think it was written by an Adventist. It is written in St. Catherine's Catholic Church Sentinel, published May 21, 1995. They said...
Thank you, brother. Okay, we pointed out last week that I was about to say the goodly gentleman, but really the badly gentleman, was building his own straw house and set about to destroy it. Because as I've pointed out, is whole argument was based on a falsehood that is put out there by Roman Catholicism. I repeat, he's going over and over, is based on a falsehood, the falsehood of the Roman Catholic Church. And I mean, there are hundreds of falsehoods in the Roman Catholic Catechism. I think I have 2 copies. I've even signed up for a course they were offering. That is 18 years ago. I think I was probably 22. I was less than 30 then when I sent for that course. And just to acquaint myself and to have something authentic that is from them. So the falsehood of Roman Catholicism that they are the one who change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. I address that, but I hope that you get the point. The fact that Christianity was here some 600 years before there was any Roman Catholic Church. You must never forget that. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 7, is not Roman Catholicism. That's gospel. Let me hear Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 7.
And upon the first day of the week.
Up on the?
First day of the week.
First day of the week. Now, what happened?
When the disciples came together to break bread.
That is worship. Are we all there?
Amen.
That is worship on the first day of the week. That is not Roman Catholicism. Put another way, that's not Roman Catholic. That is gospel from Christ. When that was written, remember the writer Luke was stating a fact that Christ's followers came together on the first day of the week to worship. There was no Roman Catholic. And for the next 500 to 600 years, there will be no Roman Catholic Church. So this is not Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic, if they're claiming that they are the one who carry out some change in day, they need to know this. And the Seventh-day Adventists need to understand that this was not put there by Roman Catholic. This was placed there by God's inspiration. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 1 and 2.
No. Concerning the collections for the saints.
Paul, God's inspired apostle, writing his second letter, first letter to the Corinthian church. Notice. Now.
No,
concerning the collections
for the saints.
For the saints, that's the saints in, was it in Macedonia or Judea? For the saints, the same order I gave to the church in Galatia. What order did you give to them, Paul? Let us have it, brother. Upon?
Upon the first day of the week.
What?
Upon the first day of the week.
Upon the first day of the week. Now, that's not Roman
Catholic. Amen.
That is gospel. That is Bible.
Amen.
For this man to spend time offering money that he doesn't have and telling that Roman Catholic says, and this is all argument. Now, these are passages that inspiration placed there, indicating to us the day upon which, in fact, this is stating, the one in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, is stating a practice. The one in 1 Corinthians 16 is a command given by the apostles of Jesus Christ. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you put aside, lay by him in store, as God has prospered you. This is not Catholic or catechism. It is Christianity. And we must be mindful of that. Now, And always remember, the practice of Christian meeting up on the first day of the week for worship was set, of course, Jesus Christ set the example. Remember, I pointed out that the record example of Jesus Christ meeting with his followers after his resurrection, those recorded examples tell us that he met with them the first day of the week. I pointed out to you that the Almighty God, Jesus Christ, does nothing by accident. So you must be mindful of that. Now, whatever happens, I want you to get this and get it clearly. Whatever happens to the Sinaitic covenant, the covenant that God made with Israel at Sinai, whatever happened to that covenant also happened to the Sabbath. Very important principle that you need to do. Whatever also happened to the Sabbath. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because the Sabbath was part of that covenant. Very important that to keep in mind. When the Bible speaks about the covenant, referring to the Sinaitic covenant, the covenant that was made at Mount Sinai between God and the Israelites, that covenant, the Sabbath was part of that agreement. So whenever you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it is discussing that covenant, whatever is said there about that covenant, it includes the Sabbath. Let us now look first at Exodus chapter 34 and verse 27 following. Exodus 34, verse 27 following.
And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these new words.
I want you to listen. Write thou, which means you write these words.
For after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel.
In other words, the covenant that I'm making with you and Israel is along the line of these words. Put another way, these words that I'm giving you constitute the covenant, constitute the agreement between me and the children of Israel. Read.
And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights.
That's Mount Sinai. You see, after the tenor of these words, I'm making a covenant with the children of Israel. That's, you have just read verse 28?
28, yes. 28. He's not finished, yes.
Read.
He did neither eat bread nor drink water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That doesn't mean God didn't eat bread nor drink water. Yes. That's Moses.
Yes.
Read.
And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
Everybody get that? That's plain. He wrote up on the tablets that was hewn out of stone the words of the covenant. What is that, Moses? I'm talking about the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
That is the word of the covenant. So whenever the Bible, Old New Testament, refers to the covenant, and it has
Sinaitic covenant in mind. Whatever is said about that covenant, the Sabbath is a part. The entire Ten Commandments constitute the covenant.
Yeah.
After the supplementary things said to Israel, like the sacrificial system, it supplements to this. It's a part of the covenant. But the Almighty God is giving the fundamental moral aspect of the covenant here. Not Mark, what he said is not moral. The Sabbath is not moral, it's ceremonial. And Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15 would indicate the many ceremonial things that are included as a part of the covenant. Now, so remember what has just been read and found in the book of Exodus chapter 34. That he wrote up on the tablets what? Yes? You're at 27 and 28, brother. Brother, we're yes. Be saying it, but I want somebody to hear it read again.
At 27, and the Lord said unto 28. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights.
That is, Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant.
The words of the covenant.
The Ten Commandments.
So the Ten Commandments. One of the commandments is keeping the Sabbath holy. That is a part of the covenant. You see, it's important that we get that principle that when the Bible, Old or New Testament, speaks about the covenant, referring to the agreement between God and Israel, the Sabbath is a part of that. Okay? So let us also turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 12 through 14.
And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire.
Start again. And the Lord.
And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice.
Moses only heard a voice. Read.
And he declared unto you his covenant.
He declared unto you. Remember, the covenant means agreement.
Amen.
A contract. A testament. He declared unto you his covenant. What verse is that?
13. Which he commanded you to perform.
Which he commanded you
to perform.
To perform.
Even Ten Commandments.
Even the Ten Commandments. So here another passage is telling you what constitutes the covenant. No. That is verse 14.
13.
Read 14.
And he wrote them upon the two tables of stone.
That's right. Read.
And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgment.
Yes, the covenant includes statutes and judgment.
That ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess.
So again, here is yet another passage. This one found in Deuteronomy, explaining what the covenant is. It constitutes the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy also chapter 12, chapter 31 and verse 26.
31?
Mm-hmm.
Take this
Deuteronomy. Mm-hmm.
Take this book of the law.
Take this book of the law.
And put in it in the side of the ark.
So you see, ladies and gentlemen, that which was placed in the side of the ark. Remember, very important. We all have heard about the Ark of the Covenant. That is found in the Holy of Holies. That it says the Ark of the Covenant means that is the vault. Are the protective place where the Ten Commandments was kept. But watch here. When the priests get with some issues and problems and want reference to refresh their mind in respect to what did the covenant or the law says again, they couldn't go in the holiest of holies. In fact, not even the high priest could go there. But once per year, the Almighty God in his wisdom arranged for the Ten Commandments to be kept in a pocket at the side of the ark so that the priest would have ready access to it any time of the day. Because that which was in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, only the high priest could go there but once a year. But what was in the book that was kept at the side of the Ark? It is the covenant.
Covenant of the Lord your God.
The covenant of the Lord. That was the Ten Commandments. But listen some more as the Bible speaks about the covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 30. Jeremiah 31 from verse 30.
But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Everyone that eateth
is Jeremiah
31:30 or 30.
Yes, from verse 30. Yes.
31:30. Yeah, that's
start again.
That's it. 31:30. But everyone shall die. I'm not sure this is it.
Continue.
Okay.
You want to stop too.
For his own iniquity, every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord.
The days cometh, saith whom?
Saith the Lord.
Uh-huh.
That I will make a new covenant.
A new agreement with?
With the house of Israel.
Watch here now. The Almighty God, through prophecy, state not only that he will make a new covenant. There is some further stipulation. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel.
And with the house of Judah.
Uh-huh.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt.
So here the Almighty God promised that there will be a new agreement, and it will not be according to the one that I made when I brought them out of Egypt. This is referring to the covenant that was made at Sinai. Amen. God says the new one I'm going to make will be different from that.
Amen.
Let us hear now Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 9. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 8, 6 through 9.
But now, hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more also he is a mediator of a better covenant.
Now here the Bible is speaking about a better covenant. Now, the Bible has already told us where God promised he's going to make a new one. Here, God's inspired word is telling us that Jesus Christ is the mediator, not of that same covenant.
Man.
Because this passage tells us that this one is a better covenant.
Amen.
And it's going to state some of the reason why this one that Christ made is a better covenant.
Which was established upon better promises.
Which was established upon better promises.
For if that first covenant had been faultless.
If that first covenant had been faultless.
Then should no place have been.
May I? I just want to see what word the Amplified used. Because more appropriately would be to use the word adequate. If that first covenant had been adequate, that would be more appropriate. You see, a person looking for loophole will jump at you. Of course, you anticipate this if you are in a public discussion. And say, okay, here, the Church of Christ preacher implied that God made a mistake. He gave a covenant, an agreement that was full of fault. That's not the implication. I'm interested in seeing what, that is Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6,
verse 7, specifics.
I just want to read it. Let me read from verse 6. But as it now is, he, Jesus Christ, has acquired a princely ministry which is as much superior and more excellent than the old, as the covenant, the agreement of which he, Jesus Christ, is the mediator. He is superior and more excellent because it is enacted and rest upon more important, sublime, higher, nobler promises. For if the first covenant had been without defect, there would have been no room for another one or an attempt to institute another one. However, ye find fault with them, showing its inadequacy. So let me get back now to the point. When the Bible said if the first covenant had been faultless, implying that the first covenant was not without fault, but it's not so much that it was faulty. When the Almighty God gave that covenant, the Ten Commandments system, the Almighty God gave it knowing it could address only certain aspect of man's sinful need. For example, under the Ten Commandments system, no sin was ever at any time for anyone forgiven. Never forget that. No sin. Man's greatest need is the forgiveness of his sin that he can stand in fellowship with God. Man then, man now, man in the future. That is our greatest spiritual need, to have our sin dealt with. Nothing in that system dealt with man's sin. What it does, what the Old Testament system does, is let man know that he has a need, that he's a sinner, etc., etc. But cleansing him from sin. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, did not address that. It could not. When the Hebrew writer said, without the shedding of blood, there is no removal of sin. When the Bible tells us that it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should forgive sin, it is telling us how limited that system was. When the Bible tells us that if there is a law given that could give life, let us hear it in Galatians chapter 3, I think, verse 19 is chapter 3. Verse 19 of the book of Galatians.
Wherefore then serveth the law?
That's the passage.
Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions.
Mark you, this passage is telling us here transgression was here before the law. The passage the brother has just read, and it's important, because Adventists want to tell that you can have no sin without the law. In a subtle way, this passage, listen it again. Wherefore then serve the law? That is, why the law? Why was it given?
It was added because
it was thrown in because of sin. That is, sin was here.
Yes.
And it is after sin that the law was thrown in.
Yes.
Read on.
Till the seed should come.
And it was to serve, notice the time element.
Till the seed
We would say until.
Yeah.
Which means up to that point. Yeah. It was made by God. Only that is the law, the old covenant, the Ten Commandments system. It was made by the Almighty God just to be here until Jesus Christ come. Read that.
Amen. To whom the promise was made.
And we're getting now to what I want you to get to. Read that.
And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator.
Read that.
No, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God?
God forbid.
God forbid. For if there had been...
Wait, all the reading you ask, if you do. What you have just started is really what I want. Start that little part again.
Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law... That a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
What here again is a subtle way, because you see, you cannot have life without righteousness.
Amen.
And the passage is implying that. But there is no law given. Notice it says a law.
Yeah.
That is any law given by man or God that could bring forgiveness. There has been none. That's what the passage, the very wording, if there had been, which means there has not been a law
None.
That could give bring righteousness and therefore life. None live by man or by God. That's what the Bible here, this passage, is teaching. So that is back to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 9. Just pick up the last one or two verses there.
For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
You see, it's the inadequacy of that first covenant. Their part in the New Testament talk about the weakness thereof. And that means it is inadequate. When the Bible tells us that by the deeds of the law, what does that mean, deeds? By engaging in the activities that the law commands, you still cannot stand just before God. All of that is showing us. Keep all the Sabbath you can. Slaughter all the animal that you can.
Yeah.
All these ceremonies, they could not bring forgiveness. So when the Bible talks about that, read it again, brother.
For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place had been sought.
That God saw the necessity and prophesied that there is coming a new covenant underlies the inadequacy of the first covenant. But wait, the law was not inadequate so much from God's point of view. The Almighty God knew from it was given that it has limitation. And those limitations in that first covenant was based on man's spiritual infancy. Man could not do with anything better than that. Because of where man was morally and spiritually, we were way down here. And God gave that system. It's the most appropriate thing that could deal with man's sinful nature, man's ignorance, man's limitation. But the Almighty God knew that the world would develop to a point where he could, Jesus Christ could be born and bring in Christianity. You have read verse 9.
Verse 7, 8, no. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
And this is why I encourage you from time to time to whatever sacrifice you need to make to get a more modern translation, but one that is authentic, one that does justice to the original. But finding fault, comma, he, that is God, says to them. That's a more correct reading. You see the difference? Finding fault with them. Them who? The covenant are the Israelites. And the way the King James word that it can leave you confused.
Yeah.
But
finding fault, come. He says to them, that is, because that first covenant was inadequate, the Almighty God says to the Israelites. That's the idea. And as I've said again, those of you who plan to get as much as you can from God's word, when you read God's word in the privacy of your home or wherever, sometimes because of scarcity of cash, you are unable to. But when you can, you get things like either the Amplified or other translation that is authentic, so that some of the Old English expression will be clarified. But finding fault, he said to them, read. That's verse, you're supposed to be at either verse 8 or 9.
Finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I have made with their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant.
Okay. So here we have the Almighty God prophesying. Of course, we have read Jeremiah 31, verse 30, following where God prophesied some 600-700 years before Jesus Christ that he's going to make a new covenant. And the passages I give you in the New Testament, which talks about the new covenant, we look at few. There are many passages in the New Testament. But let me continue in the lesson. I want you to get this too as a very important principle. One cannot accept the law in parts. Very important. It cannot be accepted or be practiced in part, but in totality or the whole. The Bible makes this plain. The Bible makes it plain that anywhere you hold on to one part of the law, you are under the totality of it. The Almighty God never meant for it where you just go and you pick out three or four or five things or one thing in the law. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you and I are subject to Sabbath, we are subject to animal sacrifice. Hebrews 7, 11 through 12. Hebrews 7.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law.
Stop there. That's another passage. You must not overlook what it is saying and what it is implying. Watch here.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, For under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek?
That is a completely different order from the Levitical priesthood.
Yeah.
Because Christ came from the tribe of Judah.
Yes.
The author of Hebrew is reasoning with us, but watch it now. Read on.
And not be called after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed.
What the writer is implying.
Everything that comes
that
under.
Priesthood is the foundation of the total system.
Amen.
Wait. The priesthood, that which pointed to Jesus Christ and forgiveness of sin. The priesthood, that's what pointed to Christ. The sacrifice, all the animal sacrifice, that was all about Jesus Christ and the removal of our sin. That is the foundation, the life of the total Old Testament system. Not the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
That's the terrible mistake. Adventist thing.
Yeah.
Read it again.
For the priesthood being changed. From top.
Verse
11. If therefore perfection,
perfection
whereby the Levitical priesthood.
Which means, brother, it could point to the Ten Commandments, because we've seen by this time the Almighty God let Israelite know that there can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood.
Amen. For under it the people receive the law.
They got the law under the priesthood.
Amen.
It is because of the priesthood.
Yes.
It was based on the priesthood.
Amen.
That they got the law.
Amen.
The priesthood is the important thing.
Yes.
It points to Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. Read on.
What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed,
if the priesthood changed,
there is made.
You see, brother, the priesthood is the foundation, the superstructure. You put on it. Any way you remove this, this has to come tearing down. Any way you affect the priesthood, and the writer is telling you the priesthood.
Amen.
And talk about change from Sabbath, change from Saturday to Sunday. When we are here to tell it, it's not any Sabbath ago. The entire system, and the writer is here telling you, any way you are acknowledged that the priesthood being changed, the inspired writer is telling you, everything that is built on it have to come tumbling down to it.
Amen.
It's a very important passage that we need to understand. This is the foundation of the total Old Testament system. In fact, before there was any Ten Commandments, before there was any moral statement, the Almighty God ordered the patriarch to offer animal sacrifice. That's right. Because, in fact, from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve used leaves to cover their nakedness, and God stepped in the picture, the Almighty God, had an animal slaughtered and used his skin to cover them. All that was pointing to forgiveness that would come through the blood of Christ. In fact, brother, you read verse 11.
not complete 12, was it? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity, a change also of the law. Amen.
What verse is that?
That's 12.
Huh?
12, verse 12.
Great. Step me down to verse 17 and 18, I think.
For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily...
18 and 19.
For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother.
For there is verily a disannulling.
Everybody understand what disannul means? Canceling out. Disannul. You wipe it out. You change it. There is therefore a disannulling
of the commandment going before.
Before.
For the weak.
Why did he disannul it? For the
weakness.
Weakness
and unprofitableness.
And the unprofitable. What
thereof. Yes.
Because the whole of that last system was given to support the priesthood.
Yes.
The priesthood is the important. Why? It points to Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin. Law does not forgive sin or remove sin.
Yes.
But here now, he tells us further on that there is a disannulling, a canceling. Man want to know about one scripture that show change. Here is one that show change. There is therefore a disannulling of the law that took place before. Why he had to disannul it? Because of the weakness and the unprofitableness here.
Yes.
Wait, time ago now? Okay. One or two more passages. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Let us hear it quick.
5, 3 and 4.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 10.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse.
Wait. Take time with that passage. Read it again.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse.
Let me hear verse 11.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith.
Here. First, 10 again, brother, quick.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it
Wait. I wonder if we understand this. Anywhere you undertake to live by the law, Sabbath or whatever, you are placing yourself under the curse which comes with the law.
Amen.
That's right. My God, why can't these people see what God is saying to them? And then even the verses 11 and 12 below. Look at chapter 5, verse 3 and 4.
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the old law.
Wait, everybody gets this? Everybody gets this? And James is going to make it clearer. This great witness of Jesus Christ, inspired by Christ, and one who knew the law probably more than any other New Testament writer, Paul. What he said there, brother?
For I testify again to every man that is circumcised.
Yes, that is, if you say this was the thing, in the same way you have Sabbath here and now, you must keep the Sabbath, you must keep the Sabbath. The Jews, for them the thing was, your name must be circumcised, your name must be circumcised. You have always had people down through the ages who pick out one or two things from the Bible and give it sore back. They write it, until they give it sore back. When Paul says, what he said there, brother?
For I testify again to every man.
Testify to every man.
That is circumcised.
Once you go and circumcise as a religious, it's not talking about the person who gets circumcised as an ethical step. Or a medical step. No, that's not. He's talking about when you take up circumcision as a religious thing. What happened, brother?
That he is a debtor to do the whole law.
You see, brothers and sisters, the whole law. You cannot go and take part of the law. Tell the Sabbatarian, you cannot just go and pick out Sabbath. The Bible says, anywhere you pick out one part, you are under all the demands of all its parts.
Amen.
That was verse 3 and 4?
3.
Read.
Verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace.
You see, remember, the Sabbath is a part of the law. That's right. When the Bible speaks about the law, it includes the Sabbath.
Amen.
Look at James chapter 2, verse 10. And most likely we're going to end with that passage. James 2, 10.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all.
Everybody gets that? It can't be plainer than that. You dare not go and pick out your Sabbath. You dare not go and pick out your circumcision. You dare not go and pick out just animal sacrifice. Anywhere you go to that system God gave to the Israelites, pick out just one part. In the sight of God, you are obligated to the whole thing. I don't know what Bible these Sabbatarians read. Because the passages I give here are but some of the passage indicating that the law was given as a totality. You don't pick out from it what you like, or else you're under condemnation. We're going to stop here, but the main point of this lesson for tonight in fact, it comes in a question for what has God said about the Jewish law? And then in this section, when I do pick it up, one, going to start out by showing that it was given only to Israel. Only to the Israelite, and God made that plain. And that it was given to no one else. We'll be going to passage where the Almighty God, in effect, ask Israel to look among themselves as a nation if there is any other nation have laws like them. Because there was no other nation that had laws like the Israelite. We are going to look on the fact that even up to 57 to 58 AD, God, up to that point, 57 to 58 years after Christ, God did not give the Gentiles the law. We'll be looking on that. Because there's a passage, a simple passage that you might have read in Hebrews. And I'm not sure. Let me mark where I stop in my outline. You know, we have heard that all the Old Testament patriarch kept the Sabbath. That's a lie. I'll be dealing with that. There's a simple statement made in the book of Hebrews. And whenever I share it with you, I'm going to ask you not to pass that passage around. Just keep it to yourself. Truly. Because I pray that God's willing, before I pass, that I get the chance to have a public debate with the Seventh-day Adventists, especially one of the well-established ones who want to tell us that the Sabbath was given before it was given to Israel. There are too many passages that indicate differently. But one passage which make a statement in a subtle way, and that passage is such a great passage. I'm hoping when we get together again, and if I undertake this, because the point I've just stated from the first lesson, that's exactly what I want to share. But these other things, I find that they are very important and you should know them. So if and when we come back to this lesson, be it next week, Sunday night, or whenever, we ask that you avail yourself. And if something is touched on tonight that is not clear, please remember, I appreciate your question. Just let me know what you need to make clearer. And if you want more passages on any point that came up, let me know. And if there are other passages, I will give you. It is God's will that we be knowledgeable so that he can use us to enlighten others. Thank you.